Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am the consummate professional, presenter of the DeAndre Swift gift for those with a Swift lift up the fantasy gift list, first ranking officer of the Terry McLaurin Stand Club of BFFs with the Oracle, your humble host, Pete Rogers. And I am joined by only one of the guys. It is the Scotty Miller fanboy, mule skinner of the Zach Ertz decline wagon, head excavator of the Robert Tanyan Canyon, proud father Quentin Nelson, the tight end whisperer Jordan Smith. Jordan, you must have been super happy. Happy National Tight Ends Day.
It was a great day for me. I worked very hard with the rest of the National Tight End Committee to get that on the calendar for the week. So it's a very big moment, and I'm glad it happened.
We applaud your efforts. You really took what America was yearning for and gave it to them. You know, so who cares about a national holiday as, you know, the day that you vote? Who cares about that being a national holiday? Let's make tight ends have their own special day that we all recognize, a position that maybe is what, third, fourth, fifth most important on your offense. But well done, you and Travis Kelce and George Kittle for making this a thing.
It's for the guys that do it all, the pass catchers, the blockers, the no-name tight ends who steal touchdowns from your short goal line running backs. That's what we do it for.
You love it. You got to love it. Well, there is a lot, and I mean it. There's a lot to get to. So we are just bringing you a full Week 7 reactions podcast. The two of us are just going to run through all the crazy shenanigans that has went down this weekend, went down prior to this weekend, and we'll start with the biggest news from Week 7, which is, sadly, Odell Beckham tore his ACL, out for the season. Baker doing great Baker Mayfield things, which was throw an interception on his very first pass, which then led to Odell getting his knee looked like twisted. And obviously that resulted in a torn ACL. And then, of course, what does Baker do but go on an absolute tear and throw for 5 touchdowns and make this Browns offense passing game suddenly like sexy and viable and all kinds of exciting, led by T. Higgins, who had 6 targets, 6 catches, 110 yards, and then Donovan Peoples-Jones coming out of nowhere for the game-winning touchdown. I don't want to trust this Browns offense, but damn, they play the Raiders, Texans, Eagles, and Jaguars next, Jordan. I am having a really hard time as an Odell manager not going wild for Rashard Higgins this off waivers this week.
I mean, it could be one of those classic situations of addition by subtraction. We've seen Odell have plenty of games with the Browns where things just aren't meshing, but he's still getting a high target volume, like 13 targets, but only 4 catches. Like, we've seen those games before, and it's like they're obviously very much trying to get Odell involved in the offense, and that's what you should do when you have a star wide receiver like that. But it just didn't seem like it was very natural, and they were doing it kind of as a play-by-play basis and not so much as part of the game plan. Jarvis Landry, I expect to just get completely peppered with targets. Like, he's going to have a ton of those. Austin Hooper, when he comes back, and he had appendicitis, so he had surgery. He should be back in the fold.
Jordan throwing shade at appendicitis.
Just saying, it's not a torn ankle ligament or something like that. Really goofy game from Harrison Bryant, who like kind of filled in on that same role, even though they have David Njoku. I wouldn't be surprised if Njoku was still wanting to get traded before the trade deadline. And you mentioned Rashard Higgins, but one of my waiver wire pickups would be Donovan Peoples-Jones. It just seemed like he had a very athletic skill set when he got onto the field. Could be one of those guys that kind of in the vein of Chase Claypool. I'm not saying they're the same player, but once they get on the field, they could have 3 or 4 games where people just don't know what to do with this person because there's really no pro tape on this guy. And they haven't played Donovan Peoples-Jones all year, mostly because he's a raw talent, but still a usable talent.
Yeah, he is 6'2", 200 pounds. He had 3 catches on 3 targets for 56 yards and then that game-winning touchdown. I like both of these guys. I'm wondering if this is going to be I have two thoughts. One, my first thought is, I'm wondering if this is going to be a similar to like Sean McVay, Todd Gurley situation, where Sean McVay clearly, once the Rams moved on from Todd Gurley, McVay's offense seems to have opened up, because now it's no longer like, we need Todd Gurley to get his touches because we've paid him all this money. And it's like Daryl Henderson or Malcolm Brown or Cam Akers, like whatever the hot running back is, that's the guy who's running this backfield, and they can kind of cycle guys in and out. And I'm wondering if we might see a similar thing with the Browns, where Odell is no longer in the picture. And so now you might see more Jarvis Landry, obviously, but this running game that is Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and then you're going to see maybe some mix of Rashard Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones, but like they've already been running a ton of two tight end sets. So you might see more of that, and you might see a bunch of, you know, Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant. I mean, everything I've heard is that the Browns love Harrison Bryant. So it seems like I don't think that like you can expect two touchdowns from him, obviously, but like he seems like a legit part of this offense moving forward as a possibility. And even if they don't trade Njoku, like this offense could look entirely different, and we could just see them be a two tight end set, two wide receivers, run the ball kind of team, which no longer prioritizes Odell Beckham and instead spreads those targets out across everyone. And so maybe it's an annoying team fantasy wise if you don't own those, if you're not a manager of those two running backs, but something that could ultimately help Baker Mayfield and this Browns offense kind of click and get on the right track.
Yeah, once Nick Chubb gets back, hopefully he's back by week 9 or shortly after, that the Browns just kind of go back to being the we're going to pound the ball a couple times, and then we're going to get it to those either the two tight ends or the two tight wide receiver sets. For now, I think the Browns are pretty much matchup based if you're playing them. I forget which writer retweeted this, but now it's all over the places. The Baker Mayfield cycle. I don't know if you saw that image.
Oh, I have seen the meme.
But for those, I'm going to describe this meme in an audio format. It basically starts out in 5 parts. It's play like shit, get criticized by media, underdog mentality, play amazing for a game. That's where we're at right now. Call out doubters, and then it repeats to play like shit, criticized by media. So watch out for next week in case the Browns don't exactly do that well, because they were playing the Bengals, who have lost a lot of close games, but they're not a very good team.
No, but the Browns do have a pretty nice schedule moving forward. Like I said, they have the Raiders in week 8, then they're on a bye for week 9, and then it's Houston, Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and then it's Baltimore, Giants, Jets, Pitt. So it's like, I mean, if this offense does, if the losing Odell does ultimately shift things up and they like, and things, we get more what we saw against the Bengals than what we've seen prior, like the Browns could go on a little run here. They're 5-2. Somehow I have this preconceived notion the Browns just suck, and that's always the news coming out of Cleveland is they suck. 5-2 is nothing to scoff at. Let me tell you, as a Patriots fan who's 2-4.
Or no, they're the AFC Bears.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, what's their record?
Wait, how are you atop of the division? All right, let's move on. So you talked about Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool, fun while it lasted, completely disappeared in week 7. And that was because Deontay Johnson, back on the field and immediately led the team in targets with 15 targets, 9 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, but then left with an ankle injury. So when healthy, it is clear that Deontay Johnson is a wide receiver 1 for both the Steelers and in fantasy, but he's shown that he can't stay healthy. Jordan, if you're a Deontay Johnson manager, do you think about trading him and trying to get away from him because of the fact that like, while the talent is there, he just can't stay healthy or on the field?
Well, I am a Deontay Johnson manager, and I think about this almost every other week. Like, I didn't even see the injury. All I know is that he got his points, so I was pretty happy about it. I didn't really look much deeper into it. I don't know if the ankle injury is something serious or if it's like when he hurt his back and he missed a game and he'll be back in the lineup in a week or so. But yeah, it's clear that he is like one of Ben's go-to guys. You can see it when you watch the games, is that Ben is looking for him when a route doesn't go the right way. If there's a miscommunication or whatever, Ben is still going to go back to him. Like, he doesn't lose faith in this guy. I like him as an option week to week when he plays better than like Juju Smith-Schuster. I like him better than Chase Claypool, because I think Chase Claypool, once he starts playing against some real teams, that they're going to start being able to figure out what to do with him. And that's exactly what the Titans kind of were able to do, is key in on him. Yeah, I don't know, man. Deontay Johnson, I'm worried if it's like this is going to be his career, or if he's just having a really like shitty amount of luck over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I will say, before we like ultimately panic about his career, this is like this season, given the fact that there was no offseason, no preseason, no, like, we have seen a litany of injuries go down, especially just like small little tweaks here and there and players missing a couple of weeks. So it's like, it is somewhat comforting that like this is seems to be a league spread thing, but his, just like the fact that he is when he's on the field, he is a must start wide receiver one, but then you're constantly like every other week, is he going to be on, is he going to be off? And it is something to worry about for Chase Claypool. I am a Chase Claypool manager, and as doing the wide receiver rankings for fake teams, had him as my wide receiver 12 this week. Just wanted to just put Deontay Johnson there instead. Nailed it. So I have huge, I was all aboard the Chase Claypool hype train. I'm still on it. Like, I wouldn't worry if you're a Chase Claypool owner. I think that what we saw Sunday is what we've basically said. And Deontay Johnson was just kind of like a surprise play at the last second. When he is on the field, Chase Claypool is relegated to that third receiver spot, and it's more gimmicky plays. He had one reception behind the yard of line of scrimmage. Like, they're going to get him in kind of as more gadget there, because Ben is looking to get the ball to Johnson, Juju, Eric Ebron starting to get more involved, and obviously James Conner in the backfield. But with Deontay Johnson, if he misses any time, Chase Claypool now emerges, immediately steps into that big X receiver down the field play. So it is something to take in consideration. I personally will now not, Chase Claypool will never be ranked above a wide receiver 3 unless Deontay Johnson is assured that he is not on the field. And then Chase Claypool becomes a wide receiver 1.
Yeah. I think to clarify, like, you should probably still keep on playing Chase Claypool unless he strings together a couple of like single digit games, just based on the fact that we've seen him absolutely explode a couple of times. It's just that, whether Deontay Johnson's on the field or not, that's kind of the tax you pay for starting a rookie wide receiver in fantasy, is that sometimes they're just going to put up games where they just don't have it, and they're still working their way through figuring out how to play in this league. And that's what's going to happen for them. So as long as you're okay with that high variance, then keep on going with these rookies.
Moving on, more wide receiver injury news. Deebo Samuel tweaked his hamstring against the Patriots, and it sounds like, according to Kyle Shanahan, that is going to be, and I quote, some time, is what the Sacramento Bee reports. You never know. No, it pulled on him on that run, which usually is some time missed, said Shanahan. So, one hand, this sucks. Deebo Samuel was kind of starting to click in and get involved. He'd had two good games where he had 60 plus receiving yards, and then also some work on the ground in the last two games. But this is another, Brandon Ayuk is more than likely available on your waivers. He, against the Patriots, had 7 targets, 6 catches, 115 yards. This 49ers offense is just, I have to give a hat tip to Kyle Shanahan, because it really is just beautifully schemed. And it seems like no matter who he puts into this offense, they are able to just get open. And I feel, I am feeling this way right now, Jordan, and I'm sure you felt this way at the peak of McCarthyism in Green Bay, where it's just like you watch your receivers be unable to gain any separation, and the quarterback, I have no idea where to throw the ball. And then you look at an offense like Kyle Shanahan, you're like, how? Just do that. How can my receivers not get wide open on drag routes and then just like have 20 yards yak afterwards? Like, so Shanahan's offense is entirely trustworthy. And we'll also talk on, well, we'll throw it in now too. Jeff Wilson also torched the Patriots for 112 yards and three touchdowns, but he also left with an injury. That is an ankle injury, which is something to also keep track on. I haven't seen anything in terms of how serious that is, but the 49ers deal with more injuries. So if they are going to miss serious time, then Brandon Ayuk and Jerick McKinnon and who's the other guy? Jamichael Hasty are all worth waiver ads, because you just, anyone who Shanahan plugs into this offense seems to be money.
Yeah, I was going to say that Brandon Ayuk is kind of a, he's like a low key floor guy that you can put in there at the flex position to just be able to hold on for dear life of getting you like 10 points. He might not blow up. He kind of blew up this week, but he's had, let's see, four games with three or fewer catches. And out of those four games, three of them, he only had two catches. But he has had another game of five catches and another game of six. So he's kind of doing a lot with a little on these catches. And I think that's why he's not really showing up in a lot of people's, he might not be showing up in a lot of people's fantasy lineups, is because they see a guy that gets two catches and you're a little bit worried about like, oh man, what's going to happen. But I get the notification, Brandon Ayuk made a catch for 25, 30 yards. And you're like, boom, there you go. He only needs to have another one of those, and he's got you your double digit points already. So
right.
He's not exactly a PPR monster right now, but he, I mean, with Deebo Samuel out again and him growing in this offense continually, he very well could be a PPR monster very soon.
Yeah. And when we saw Deebo Samuel out, he not only had obviously a lot of influence in the passing game, but when you mentioned back in week four against the Eagles, he had two catches for 18 yards, but also a 38-yard rushing touchdown. So, like, that's the beauty of this Shanahan offense, is that with both Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, like, even if they, like, they just get the ball in their hands, whether it's rushing, whether it's passing, whether it's screens, whether it's down the field, like, they just, Shanahan, I can't gush about this man enough. God, he's so good at his job. And it just makes you look at everyone else in this league and you're like, you all suck in comparison. So yeah, they are both, I mean, I feel confident in buying any part of this 49ers offense. And it's honestly, like, it's a great fantasy offense, because not only can you just plug and play players and they will perform, but also they're dealing with so many injuries that there's so much turnover that there's so many players available that you can like get to add and like get to be on your team.
Yeah. And I think Ayuk has been like hit with an injury tag this year as well. Like at least being questionable. Can't remember what he was hurt with, but if he's got a clean bill of health, that's just improving his stock even more now.
Yeah. An offense that I am not thrilled with and am utterly terrified moving forward is the Dallas Cowboys, who we talked about last week as a possible struggle when we saw Andy Dalton take over. And then Andy Dalton against the Cardinals, and then Andy Dalton and the Cowboys go and take on the Washington football team. And what happens? But Andy Dalton gets concussed, leaves the game. Some dude named Ben Ducini comes in and tosses a couple balls. So obviously Andy Dalton's in concussion protocol, but things keep getting worse, man. CeeDee Lamb had five targets, no catches. Michael Gallup had two targets, no catches. Jordan, is it officially time to panic about this Cowboys passing game, which may either have a banged up Andy Dalton under center or this Ducini guy who sounds like he belongs in The Sopranos?
Yeah, I think that you're probably hitting eject on this fantasy season for the Cowboys. If you're like in a dynasty format, you probably are hanging on to Lamb or Amari Cooper, but I would try to see what you can get from Michael Gallup at this point, see if somebody wants to overpay. I feel like this might be partially our fault. We talked about the Cowboys this summer, like every other week, with how great it was going to be. And it's just, this is like owning up to it right now. This is our incredibly big miss of the year.
We were pretty odd when Dak was healthy, and then Dak went down, and good Lord. But we thought that even with Andy Dalton coming in, things would be fine. You know, obviously it'd be a step down, but maybe not the step down we anticipated. But yeah, when Odell got traded to the Browns, I at least just spent the entire offseason hyping the Browns up to the umpteenth degree, and that didn't happen. And then we spent this offseason hyping up the Cowboys offense. We might have to stop hyping teams up, Jordan.
Yeah, well, I mean, Andy Dalton was a serviceable starting NFL quarterback for years. And now suddenly he looks like Nathan Peterman out there. Oh. It's just not, it's not great, especially for Mike McCarthy, who prides himself as a quarterback's guy. It's not a good look at all.
Over under, and not even over under, does Mike McCarthy last the season as the Cowboys head coach?
I think he does. We've talked for years, like they held on to Jason Garrett for like 5 years too long. So I think he at least lasts the season. I think he'll last way longer than he should though anyway.
Ugh.
The Joneses are, yeah, they're attached to people.
They really are. You must be pretty happy with your young, sexy Matt LaFleur perusing the sidelines.
I mean, it's been great. It's nice to have a coach come in and not be one of those like recycled head coaches who's like, oh, we've seen this guy before. What did he do? Oh, his last year he was 4-12, but we're going to give him a starting gig anyway because he was an offensive coordinator for a couple of years. It's good to see it.
Good to see some new blood get in there. All right, we are going to continue to talk about week 7. But before we do, we are going to take a quick ad break. All right, speaking of sexy coaches who peruse the sidelines, whoo, baby, is Bill Belichick struggling in New England?
You're talking about Steve Belichick.
Oh, I mean, that mullet. Have you ever heard Steve Belichick talk? It is, you close your eyes and they're the exact same human.
Unsurprising. Yeah, I think I have. Somehow I've heard him speak before.
It is pretty remarkable when Steve Belichick takes over for Bill Belichick in whatever 5 years. We won't even know the transition occurred. But there was a transition that did occur in New England. God, these transitions, I'm killing it. Cam Newton, not a great game. Threw 3 interceptions, looked tentative with the ball, was not really quick to run. He was just holding on to the ball too long. The Patriots offense looks like a hot mess. He got benched for Jared Stidham, who immediately came in and threw a pick. This offense is a mess. Cam hasn't looked right since he's got COVID. He seems to be short-arming balls. He hasn't been accurate. Now, this is things that we've seen before in Cam's career where he is a streaky quarterback. Like, there are times where he gets hot and he's the best quarterback in the league, both running and passing the ball. But what we saw in the first 2 weeks of the season. And then you get stretches where he's just not connecting. He's overthrowing balls. He's being tentative in the pocket. He's not making the right reads. So unfortunately, when you're at his point in his career where he's older and has gone through multiple surgeries, it seems like you don't want those bad streaks to last longer than the good streaks, but that's kind of where we are in. Belichick says Cam will be the starting quarterback, but my faith is wavering and I am definitely looking for a quarterback in leagues in which I have Cam. For me, this offense is an avoid until proven otherwise in my book.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that game really closely. Did it kind of look like they were down, so they were just forcing Cam to throw, or did they really get away from that offense that was like very fun to watch in the first month?
Yeah, they got away from the ground game. It just hasn't been there. They've had a bunch of injuries across the offensive line, which I think, of course, has played into it. But the rushing attack hasn't been there. It's been more of a like, it seems like early in the game, we're going to get Cam passing, which I guess could make sense as you're trying to get him warmed back up into a rhythm. But you would think that how dynamic that rushing game looked to start the season, maybe Patriots fans will hate to hear this. Maybe Sony Michel was the key. And since Sony Michel has been injured and is on IR, they haven't been able to have as dynamic a rushing attack as they were looking to have. But, I personally don't believe that. I think Damian Harris has looked really good in his bouts, and they just haven't been running the ball. Also, fun story, Julian Edelman targeted 3 times this game. He caught one, the other 2 were intercepted. So Julian Edelman looks like a shell of his former self. As Nick loves to say, I think the injuries have finally caught up to him and just the beating that his body has taken. Personally, I would be looking to unload him if I were a fantasy manager, at the very least try to trade him for whatever you can, but he might be just droppable at this point. You might not even get trade people biting for him on a trade.
Yeah. Edelman looked a little spry in the first couple of weeks of the season, but now I think he's hit his Ryan Fitzpatrick plateau where it's just, it doesn't look good anymore. And it's time to figure out a new way to get pass catchers the ball. His receivers aren't studs by any means. And it's kind of, there's a lot of chatter on the Twitter airwaves today about the New England draft strategy over the past couple seasons and how they missed on a few studs, not just wide receivers, but across the entire roster. And I think it might be a little bit too soon to overreact to the Patriots, like as a football team, maybe from a fantasy purpose, because they don't really have anybody that you trust all that much to start week in and week out. But this is just what happens when you have a really rough game and you don't have the like pure talent around you to kind of like hang on for dear life and dig yourself out of it. These are very much guys who are signed onto a team to be a part of an entire system. And when the system has some broken pieces in it and shuts down for a game, then nobody's prospering from it.
Yeah. And I've seen those, obviously, those hot flaming draft takes that have been going around the interwebs. And while I don't disagree with them, like I think Bill Belichick, the GM, has gotten in the way of Bill Belichick, the coach, pretty recently. But I do want to quit this point because I love my boy N'Keal Harry, and I will go to war against anyone who dare speaks ill of N'Keal Harry. You can relate to this, Jordan. Devontae Adams, sophomore year, he had played 13 games, 52 catches, 483 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, one touchdown. Julian Edelman's rookie year, 11 games, 37 receptions, 359 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, one touchdown. Tyreek Hill's rookie year, 16 games, 61 receptions, 593 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, six touchdowns. In 12 career games for N'Keal Harry, he has caught 30 passes, 271 yards, 9 yards per catch, and three touchdowns. So, yes, if you compare him to Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin, all who were taken after him, it doesn't look great. Hindsight is 20/20. Those are all like stud wide receivers who have come in and made an immediate impact. But let me tell you, as someone who is married to a Packers fan, there were, for long stretches of time, early in Devontae Adams' career, where Becca would be like, God damn it, Devontae Adams, just catch the ball. Learn how to catch the ball, Devontae Adams. And now, 6 years into his career, he's like the best wide receiver in football and just put up a redonkulous week 7 where he went for like a 170 and two touchdowns. So these things take time, and there's been so much turnover and so much turmoil in New England that I will hold my judgment on whether or not the N'Keal Harry pick is a bust. You know, give me 2 years and let's see where things stand. Obviously, it doesn't look great now, but maybe let's slow down in the, oh my gosh, N'Keal Harry is a terrible pick and a trash wide receiver department.
Yeah, the thing is, this is kind of N'Keal Harry's rookie season because he wasn't able to play at all virtually last year. The difference here with him and most notably Devontae Adams is that you were able to hide Devontae Adams behind guys like Jordy Nelson, Randall yes. Cobb, even the last legs of Donald Driver in Green Bay. N'Keal Harry, his knock coming out of the draft was that he just might not be able to get open. And I think that is a pretty significant like physical characteristic that you need to overcome as a young football player. And it might take him longer than some other players to figure out. Cause like, I mean, AJ Brown and Deebo Samuel, those guys are just able to run away from people and they're able to get the ball in space. And N'Keal Harry, at worst, he might end up being just like a big red zone guy who they can throw the ball to, but I don't know, man. It doesn't look great. Even T. Higgins is able to make some football plays, and he kind of has a similar athletic profile.
Yeah. I'm staying on my hill, but my hill is definitely getting smaller. Also, before we leave the Patriots, big old fuck you to Jeff Garcia and anyone who likes to take a flaming hot Cam Newton shouldn't be dressing in clothes take while he's sucking at football. So,
big I mean, they pulled him because the game was out of reach.
Right. They didn't. Yeah. Anyways, let's continue on. A couple running back injuries that went down on Sunday Night Football in what was a ridiculous game. Holy crap. But Kenyon Drake left with an ankle injury. He is supposed to be out a couple weeks. And Chris Carson is expected to be week to week. But actually, I just saw a little breaking news, which is to say that they're expecting him to be back sooner rather than later. So there might not be too much worry there. For Kenyon Drake managers, though, go get yourself some Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, the Chase Edmonds handicap is an easy one and obvious one and probably should have been – like, he was startable, I think, in a few formats if you were looking for a flex guy, even as the backup. He's kind of in that same vein of, like, Kareem Hunt, maybe a notch below Kareem Hunt as a backup running back who can still get you points, but, like, a slight notch above, like, a guy like Jamal Williams who can go off and give you a good 20 points randomly. So that's an easy handcuff. Chris Carson, if he misses time, I'm not sure. Carlos Hyde in Seattle is Rashad Penny still there, or Rashad Penny?
I think he's still coming really back know what from to his do ACL. There. Yeah. Basically, it's by Chris Tyler Carson's, Lockett.
Yeah, Chris Carson is just really. He's just a real silent G up there. Like he goes and he gets his 16 fantasy points and he's like, you don't really hear much from Chris Carson, but he's like an RB1, like week in and week out without being too flashy.
I made sure to buy a lot of his stock this year in fantasy because for that exact reason where it's like every year I'm always like, ah, Chris Carson, is he reliable or is he really what I want to take? And then you look at the numbers and you're like, the dude like ends every single year despite missing games as a wide receiver one or running back one. So I was like, all right, I'm going to heavily invest in Chris Carson. And he's had some injuries, but for the most part, I am pleased with my investment.
Yeah, I mean, always a good investment when you get your RB1 in like third or fourth round, you know.
All right, well, two final things on the docket to talk about. They are not injury related. They are some crazy fun wide receiver speculation. And we'll start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers officially signing Antonio Brown, who won't come back from suspension until week 8, which means he won't play until week 9. Jordan, you have to have loved the fact that Scotty Miller got one last great game in against the Raiders. I think that Scotty Miller is still worth rostering in fantasy, despite the fact that like a whole bunch of people came after me on Twitter this week because I said Scotty Miller was worth adding off waivers. And everyone's like, oh, did you know that Antonio Brown signed with them? And it's like, oh, did you know that Antonio Brown can't play until week 9 and has to learn the playbook and has to get into game shape? Like, are we sure he's really going to make an immediate impact? But how are you feeling about the Bucs passing game and your boy Scotty Miller and Mike Evans, who's kind of been putting on a nice little disappearing act recently? If the addition of Antonio Brown, I don't think that's going to help.
Yeah. It was nice to see Scotty Miller blow up for like 20 points as he sat on all of my benches this week.
Isn't that just how it goes?
Pretty much, yeah. I think the key thing to remember with players like Scotty Miller and just like speed guys is that they play a certain function on this team. They're not going to his snap percentage could go down because they might do some different things on offense with Antonio Brown, but he's not going to be AB is not going to be a one-for-one replacement and do all the same thing Scotty Miller does. Like, they're not going to just send him down the field 3 or 4 times a game because he, however you may think of Antonio Brown, he can do a lot more than just run fast and get down the field. And, I mean, he didn't play football last year and he's over 30. He might not be able to run that fast down the field anymore. I think this plays a bigger role in your fantasy life because Mike Evans is actually like a week-to-week starter and Scotty Miller is more like a flex spot start when you really need a guy. I am worried about Mike Evans being like the guy who basically his production gets replaced. I think slowly but surely, Tom Brady might be like trying to mold this into his Patriots offense. Like you see Gronk suddenly getting a ton of targets, and you know, he wants to get Antonio Brown. Cause remember Antonio Brown, when he played his first game with the Pats against the Dolphins last year, they destroyed, like the Dolphins weren't good. Like, actually, I don't even know if that was the first game. It was like the second game.
It was his first. No, it was his first game. It was the only game he played with the Patriots. And the other thing is the Patriots writers are all just like, Tom Brady could not shut up about how amazing Brown was in practice. Like Brady was, Bruce Arians has said that like, oh, Brady wasn't involved in this decision. This was entirely Brady being like, I want Antonio Brown on this team because he is obsessed with him. I think he's the perfect. Brady loves the work ethic, loves the, you know, the, just the route technician and like the reliability of Brown's going to be where he wants him to be. I think Brady is obsessed with Antonio Brown and wants to play with him. And that just further terrifies me about Mike Evans. I don't think it's Scotty Miller who people should be worried about. And you're right. It's Mike Evans, because Mike Evans is going to get replaced by Scotty Miller as the downfield guy. It's going to be Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown at whatever level he can be as Brady's primary target, Scotty Miller down the field, Gronk in the middle of the field. And like, we were going to talk about some trades we would love to see this week, but would you be surprised if Mike Evans gets shopped? Like, I wouldn't. I think the Bucks need to.
I think the only way the Bucks shop Mike Evans is if Mike Evans makes an issue about it. It's like, hey, I kind of just want to go play somewhere else and be involved. By Bruce Arians' accounts, and Bruce Arians he's just a liar. Like, let's call it what it is. Spade a spade. He has not told us the truth all year long. He says though that Mike Evans wants to win and that's all he wants to do. And like, I get that. And I can see why the Bucks, like, why wouldn't you want to keep three really good wide receivers? Especially when, you know, each Sunday isn't guaranteed and one of those guys could end up going down. Other than that, it's kind of like Tom Brady absolutely had a part in this. Like, he is calling the 53rd guy on the starting day roster and is like, hey, actually, you're not suiting up this week. We signed a new guy. I structured the contract myself. and I'm the one that am bringing this guy in. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Licht had no idea when he woke up the other day. It was like, wait a minute, we're signing Antonio Brown.
Wait, I did not agree to this. Brady's like, no, you did. I got your signature right here.
Yeah. And that sort of like chemistry and like, especially with a guy like Tom Brady, when he likes a guy like a target, he likes them. Like, he wants to get married to them. And it's just like, it's worrisome. Like, I'm a little bit worried about Chris Godwin's targets as well, even though Chris Godwin should be the clear number one wide receiver. I'm like just slightly concerned that some balls that were supposed to go Chris Godwin's way end up going Antonio Brown's way just because Tom Brady likes him better.
Yeah.
Or he knows him better.
Maybe the Buccaneers shouldn't want to trade Mike Evans. Want the Buccaneers to trade Mike Evans.
Let's get some good old fashioned NFL tampering going on.
Yes.
And let's have, let's have my guy Gutekunst in Green Bay start to whisper some sweet nothings into the agent of Mike Evans. Say like, hey, if your guy still wants a shot at winning, like, here we go. Like, come up here. Or, another team, I'm trying to think of who's actually contending this year. It's really hard to figure that out. Baltimore. I
mean, you could go Steelers. Baltimore is a great one.
They need a wide receiver right now. Their passing game is really very rough, and a big target like that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, they love tight ends. Lamar Jackson loves Mark Andrews. Let's just basically give him a bigger, better tight end that plays on the outside now.
They've already proven they're ready to make some deals to get some W's. So,
Jordan, now I'm obsessed with this. This needs to happen. I need Mike Evans on the Baltimore Ravens, because it'll make Lamar Jackson better. It'll make Marquise Brown better. It'll make everyone in that offense better. Make it happen.
Mike, start causing a fuss, man.
The
Buccaneers, come on, man. Like, as soon as December rolls around, Tom Brady's old man arm is going to fall off.
It's going to freeze right off. You know Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he loses Super Bowls. Just look at the track record.
Yeah, he's a system guy.
Yeah, he's a system guy. He's not in the right system. Yeah, Mike, push your way out of Tampa and let's go to Baltimore. I love it. I'm here for it. Speaking of a wide receiver who might be on his way out, let's wrap things up with some real hot Michael Thomas speculation drama. So here's the narrative. Here's the storyline of Mike Evans. He was supposed to be back Michael Thomas. He was supposed to be back like week four and then got in a fight and got suspended before the bye week, which I totally didn't see that anywhere. I feel like that was kind of like hush hush, kept under the rug. But maybe I'm just blind and I totally missed it. We thought he was going to play this week, and then suddenly he crops up on the injury report with a hamstring that now might keep him out through week eight, that like he might not play until week nine. And then there's also these trade rumors floating around about him. I don't know, dude. Something has me feeling that this is like a Jimmy Graham-esque departure where the Saints are just going to suddenly turn around and trade Michael Thomas for like three first-round picks and, I don't know, some sort of center and just maybe like completely rebuild this Saints team on the fly. Drew Brees is retiring at the end of the year. We know that. And it's like, who do you have behind him? Where are you going to get this quarterback to play along with Michael Thomas? And the wide receiver position isn't exactly the one that's like the most patient for a rebuild. Like, I can count on one hand the number of wide receivers who have patiently waited through a rebuild, and it's AJ Green and Larry Fitzgerald. That's it.
Yeah, it's a little weird that the Saints haven't looked great like week in and week out. They definitely could use, I mean, Michael Thomas, like he's the one that would unlock that entire offense, whether that be for Jared Cook to start putting up really great numbers or Emmanuel Sanders. And like Alvin Kamara has basically been it. Like he's the yak lord down there. And I don't know, this hamstring injury after the other injury that landed him on IR.
It just smells kind of fishy.
It sounds like a made up, like coach's bullshit type of thing. It's like, we are just going to make sure this guy stays on the sideline so he can't re-injure himself and that we can talk to some other teams. If I'm Michael Thomas, I'm more than okay with that, because whether or not the Saints make the playoffs this year, I mean, Drew Brees already has a contract pending to announce football games.
Let's not pretend that Drew Brees has like another year here. He is retiring at the end of this year. And the Saints have like, unless it's like Jameis Winston, maybe have no real backup plan.
Yeah. The end is near for the Saints and like, not the Saints in general, but for Drew Brees, at least being there. And like, yeah, they have some really good young players on the offensive line, on the defensive side of the ball, but we have seen time and time again, if you don't have the quarterback that's putting it together for you, you're not going to win a whole lot of football games. And it takes, it could take a couple tries. You know, not everybody is pulling Aaron Rodgers off the shelf after Brett Favre. Like, that's just not how it works. Those are more of just aberrations than actuality. So the fact that the Saints could struggle to find a backup, I mean, Taysom Hill could still be the future. Like 31-year-old Taysom Hill next year.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah, so like Michael Thomas, you're a young wide receiver and this franchise seems to be, I don't know, hiding you in some way and not taking care of you. But let's go see if you can be on a contender. Like, same teams that we just talked about for Mike Evans. go get Can't Guard Mike on Twitter and just start adding him. Be like, hashtag Green Bay. Like, let's get Devontae Adams and Mike Thomas on the same field and watch corners break ankles every single week.
I mean, I love him. I would love him in Green Bay because he seems to, like, he would pair, obviously, Michael Thomas can do more than just run slant routes. But him pairing with Davante Adams is brilliant because Davante Adams can run every route in the tree, but especially can be the downfield big play guy. And Michael Thomas is just going to run, win off the line every single time. And Rodgers just like, pew, done, 10 yards easy. And we're just going to slowly chug down the field.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who's looking, because we mentioned before that it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of teams that are really jumping out and be like, oh, that team is hard to beat. Like even the Chiefs this year look kind of beatable. I mean, the Raiders like proved that they can wallop take them to task.
Yeah.
And the Ravens have struggled. There are teams out there that could definitely use the services of this guy. So I feel like in a weird year where there was a weird off season, just kind of go all in, man.
Let's get crazy.
There are at least six teams on each in each conference that could win the Super Bowl, I feel like. So
yeah I am here for utter and pure insanity. Before we go, Jordan, we talked about a bunch of guys just through the injuries about people you should be adding off waivers. Is there anyone else in particular who you feel like people should be prioritizing on the waiver wire this week?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a deep cut, but I think you should try to go and grab, I might butcher this name, Albert Okwuegbunam. He is a rookie tight end for National Tight End Day. Rookie tight end.
Jordan staying on brand.
Staying on brand for the Denver Broncos, who it's basically a bunch of role players in Denver and other fellow rookies like Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler who are catching passes from Drew Lock. And I think with Okwuegbunam, and he's in the same vein as Noah Fant, where they're both just kind of big, fast tight ends who catch balls, and they're not necessarily like one's the pass catcher, one's the blocker. Like they both kind of do similar things. And you kind of thought that maybe this guy would take a step back this week after like a 7-target performance the week prior, but he had like another 7 or so targets and like just as many catches. So he's very much like he could have up and down weeks, but he could also have like a rookie season kind of like in the vein of Evan Ingram. You want to be careful with these guys because they're tight ends number one, but they're also rookies. So I don't know, just somebody to keep an eye on to stream.
Yeah. He saw 6 targets against the Patriots, caught 2 of them for 45 yards, but he also had like a touchdown in his midst that he dropped. And then against Kansas City, 7 targets, 7 catches for 60 yards. And the Broncos play Chargers, Falcons, Raiders, Dolphins, and then Saints, and then Kansas City again, and then Carolina. So and then Buffalo, Chiefs, and then Raiders again. So like, that's a nice schedule for him. And I think you're right that with the injuries to Cortland Sutton, no idea why I thought Deshaun there, that you might see again these two tight ends being prioritized over someone like Tim Patrick, or as Drew Lock kind of is looking to get back into his comfort zone. Speaking of Raiders, I have suddenly discovered that like Nelson Aguilar has low key been balling in recent weeks. He's had a touchdown and has gone for at least 40 yards in each of his last 3 games. And he's coming off of his best game, catching 5 of 9 targets for 107 yards and a touchdown against the Bucs, which the Buccaneers is not a defense to scoff at. This is a top defense in the NFL, and Nelson Aguilar was getting open against them at will. And now they get to go play the Browns in week 8, which is a delightful matchup for any wide receiver, as the Browns have been struggling to contain wide receivers. And so I like Nelson Aguilar has long been a punchline in the NFL, just given his inability to catch the ball, especially since he was a Philadelphia Eagle, and Philadelphia fans love to mock and ridicule those who they root for, which we as Patriots fans never do. We are the classiest of fans in New England. I like Aguilar. And also, go add Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley belongs in more rosters than like 40% of Yahoo leagues. He has been just killing it. He's now scored a touchdown or gone over 100 yards in 4 out of his last 5 games. So,
Yeah, I feel like Aguilar is even available in like the deepest of dynasty leagues. Like he's
3% owned in Yahoo.
Yeah, he's there, and he kind of had to step in when Henry Ruggs got hurt in Bryan Edwards wasn't available, but he very clearly has earned himself a spot in the offense and as a starting wide receiver. Like, why not? Are you going to turn the ball over to like Bryan Edwards, who's a rookie and has like not even played this year yet?
Right.
I don't think so.
No. Well, there you go. That is all we got for you today. So make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That is how you'll not only find us or get us, but also our fantasy baseball and basketball podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at PDM Rogers. And Jordan, you can follow at Jordan_Smith27. Little pause there. We will be back at you on Thursday. Two talks starts and sits for week 8. Until then, peace.